the principle of memory, or the role of memory in transformation, in quantum transformation, is what we want to examine today. Dr. Chetan Kripalu is the CEO and the founder of the Angel Wing LLC organization. She has identified 52 major principles of quantum transformation that we are presenting on a weekly basis every other month. So with that background, I have a question for Dr. Chetan Kripalu, and that is regarding memory. What is memory? When we think about memory, what is meant by memory? First question, and then how is memory to be used for transformation? So please elaborate on that.
So memory is something which it's kind of like a storage in my experience, which occurs after, which happens, the storage happens after an event has occurred somewhere in the past. So that way we have so many memories, but they are all recorded in a specific part of the brain. And there are some memories which play a bigger role than the others, depending on how deep it has affected the person. And that could play a significant role in how it's recorded in the brain. And sometimes it's so detailed because of the effect it has on that person. Some could be a part of the memory which is recorded, and some memories may not happen. So it just depends on how the event in the past has actually influenced, or how it has, what effect or what extent, to what extent the effect has happened on that particular individual. So, of course, we have good memories, that means fond memories, which we like to remember very often and reminisce about and everything. And those are memories. And so there are some memories which are not so pleasant. And then there are some memories which are very distressing. And sometimes the brain even blocks it off. And that's why a lot of times we have things stored even in the subconscious mind we are not aware of, because our brains in general, human brains, are always guarding us from impending danger. And we don't know if the danger is coming, but it's just more of what the brain does is, if this occurs again, I'm able to help this individual guard from it or protect them from going through this whole emotional upheaval because of that, especially the bad memories or the events, so-called bad events, or not so, or the negative events, as far as, you know, we know, for the person. So those are the ones which affect us long-term, because these memories which were stored in our subconscious mind have an effect which we are not aware of. For example, somebody has a occurrence where they're walking on the road, and this person is chased by a dog, and the dog catches up, you know, with that person. Of course, the person remembers running so hard and so fast away from the dog, but the dog catches up and, you know, bites them. Now, this is such a big or a deep negative memory, which for that person, it's recorded not only in the physiological part of the brain, but even in the subconscious, because of the emotions which has transpired from the event, which is recorded in the brain and has spilled over in the subconscious mind. So the next time, just the thought of a dog in the street itself triggers this whole response of, like, the person actually is reliving this whole event, which makes that person go into survival mode or fight or flight, which is obviously very, you know, not something pleasant for the person. So that is where how it goes into the survival mode is the brain trying to guard from you know, the body, you know, the for the being being affected or the individual being affected more than what it should be. So essentially, the brain is always trying to protect from something which could happen in the future, but not sure if it's going to happen, but it's always on guard. So that is the memory, which that is what is memory in general, from both physiological and psychological aspects.
Right. For a moment. All right, so Dr. Chetna has just described briefly what is memory. With regards to quantum transformation, could you elaborate on the transformation process that you are trying to create with an individual through the Angelwing program in relation to the way memory is looked at? It's like viewing memory. So for example, I say that these are my memories. I can look at them and see them without them overrunning me. So what is the role of the memory in transformation? How can memory be used for transformation? And then how does memory entanglement prevent transformation?
Yeah, definitely. See, this is a major concern in, you know, PTSD, for example, how memory can be a problem for people to move on. Post-traumatic stress disorder is the most common thing which I can pick to give an example. The war veterans, especially, where it's much more common in the, you know, veteran hospitals and everything we see, there are such such bad events which that person has gone through, which is catastrophic, as, you know, being in a situation that they almost got killed, or they saw their partners or their friends in their team or their army get killed, or they having to even kill little children, or not specifically them, but in an ambush, little children and, you know, innocent people, civilians getting killed, etc. So the issue is, because of that deep wound it has created as far as emotions and feelings, this is becomes a problem. It's the person goes through flashbacks very often, again and again and again. It can be so deleterious for that person, is they, it's very hard for them to even distinguish from a past memory and then the present, because they are frozen in that memory in the past and they bring it to every present moment. And so they're not able to get past it or go through it and move on with their life. So this is what happens when memory becomes an impediment for a person to move on. And there is a, this psychologist who's very famous, who his name is Stephen Porges. He actually talked about polyvagal theory, and this is what it's about. What does it mean? This is more, you know, physiological, where the biggest nerve or the strongest nerve in our body is called the vagus nerve, and it has two branches, dorsal and ventral aspect. So what happens is, usually the body, after the survival mode is gone, which is the fight or flight, it goes back into this phase of growth where the other, you know, part of the vagus kicks in to normalize, and the person goes into this parasympathetic phase, which is the relaxed phase, and then that's the space for a person to heal. But for people with PTSD, what happens is, they're so frozen in that event that they don't even go, allow that vagus nerve, the other aspect, the ventral aspect, to take over and go into the relaxed phase, that they're frozen in that, you know, the other part of it where it continues. So literally, if you imagine yourself frozen in a moment, and that moment appears every, in the present every time, every present that is, there on after, then it becomes a problem, because the person is not, they're reliving this whole event again and again and again. And you can imagine what happens to the body. The body suffers immensely, because the body cannot be in the survival mode continuously. And so, the body starts breaking up and dysfunctional. And not only that, mentally, emotionally, the person cannot keep living this. So then they resort to alcohol, then they resort to drugs and, you know, all these kinds of stuff. So memory in this case plays such a crucial role of how much it, you allow that person's allowing it to take over their life. So that is one part how the memory is a impediment to, you know, going forward in the future. So how do we overcome that memory is what we're going to, I guess, discuss as we go along about how do we bring about a positive transformation by negating the, not the memory, because memory is a memory. The event has already occurred, so you're going to have that memory forever. But how can we go beyond or transcend the emotional or the feeling part of it, which is what's the issue here, which is not allowing the person to have a good quality of life as they go further?
Transformation and memory, is there a relationship between memory itself being transformed into something else, or do memories just remain as they are, but there is some kind of a different view of the memory that is transformative? How would you differentiate that?
Yeah, so the memory is the memory. So, you know, it cannot change. So the memory cannot be transformed, in my opinion. It is more about how our view of the memory would change and how can we negate the energy behind it or the charge behind it or the emotions and the feelings which bring all these emotions and charges, because that's what is debilitating for that person. So if there are so many memories happened in our past, which we just laugh about, or we just, you know, it happened. We don't go through those intense emotions with them. But the emotions are the problems which, I'm sorry, emotions are the ones which keep you from, you know, going on with your life and even looking at it as a stepping stone to going into the future and having a better quality of life and, you know, enjoying life to the fullest extent and living life to the fullest extent. So what we are trying to do, the transformation is about a personal transformation, how the perspective of the memory changes and how our perception of the memory is different now that we have learned how to look at it very differently, so that it doesn't hold this almost like hold us in the past and allows us to use it, in fact, as a wonderful thing to evolve or grow from it and transform ourselves to actually another, a different being than we were before. So that is, again, something we can, be very comfortable with and go on in our lives, which will give us that, you know, edge for us to actually live a better life.
So, when the word transformation is used, specifically the way you're using it, you mentioned about having a different way, a new perspective of memory. How does meditation and or any other tool allow that to happen? Because memories, as you said, cannot be changed, but there really is a sense of just getting stuck in them, or they kind of come up and overtake what's happening in one's life. They're just present inside. Not all the memories show up, but some of them show up based on certain situations. Is there a way to remember them just objectively without getting so much enraptured by them? How does that happen?
Yes, definitely. So the transformation has to occur at several levels. Starts with meditation, because you cannot bring yourself to transform yourself with your mind if your mind is completely, you know, confused, or there's a whole chatter on different levels, because, you know, we have been given our mind to use for our benefit as an instrument, so that we can actually, make sense of it, of the situation, and how we go about explaining it to ourselves, and things like that. So that's why meditation is the first step, where you calm the mind, or you realize even that you are not the mind or the body. in deeper meditations, and that there is that the, you can call it the higher self, or there is an existence separate from these things, and that real you is what you're trying to get to, which would kind of, you know, separate or give you a separation between the memory and you. Most of the times what happens is there is other things which are involved, even taking the case, you know, before, like a veteran, is you have the sense of guilt, you have the sense of, you know, being wrong. So you are actually a lot of times punishing yourself for all these things. But if we change our perspective or the way we perceive and say, okay, at that point in time, I made a choice the best, you know, I could. And the result of it is not in my hands. It's out of control. The outcome was what it was. But that had to be done at that point for whatever, you know, however, for the country or whatever the greater good, essentially. And, you know, and then go into this deeper aspect of really you, which is separate from all these identities we've created. And even using that as a stepping stone, because if that event hadn't occurred, we wouldn't have looked at ourselves in a different way. And that's the growth and evolution. So what happens in life, in general, we want to know that everything which happens in our life is only to go deeper into ourselves and look at what we can find about ourselves, the deeper potentials, the deeper realm where we, you know, that's how we evolve. And one more thing I found out about myself. And as you go deeper and deeper, and other tools, for example, you know, energy medicine, breath work, all these things also helps us release this, you know, layers we've built over time and, you know, the coverings or the veil. And once we remove that, we realize the real us, the higher us, which will be more freeing for us to make or bring about this transformation. So it's at different levels, obviously. So it's not only meditation, but meditation is the beginning. To realize there's a deeper state, which is of calmness and joy and love and, you know, things like that, which allows us to get away from the chattering mind, you know, and then use that tool periodically as tools in shorter intervals through the day, which allows ourselves to actually use our mind as an instrument to really grasp the situation, what we've been through, and allow us to bring about a transformation in a different way. And that also comes with deep introspection and meditative dialogues. And this is what we want to do in our quantum transformation program or Angel Wing, which allows us at several levels to get to our deeper self.
So it really seems like there is a way of self-reflection on memory. The person is sitting, let's say, silently for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. How does a person self-reflect or look at the memory for what it is, you know, just by themselves, even without talking to anybody? Is there a way of doing that?
Absolutely. So before we get into the memory, you know, we want to do little things. For example, just an observing as a meditation process where you only observe your thoughts, all the thoughts which come through without any judgment, without getting identified with the thought, without feeding the thought, just like you or one of how we would observe, like sitting, you know, outside our porch and we're watching people go by, we're watching the cars go by without any, you know, thought process going on or anything like that. So what happens with that is the mind can only generate thoughts up to a certain point. And all these thoughts are from the past because the thoughts are, you know, are generated from this field of mind or the brain. Only depends on what you've been through and what the events have caused and then how it makes up thoughts in your head, possibly something projecting in the future, etc. But the reason why we get into the loop of the thought is one of them, each thought gets entangled with another thought, and then that thought, you know, putting all this together, and there's endless, so there is no end to it. But this kind of meditation where you observe just for the sake of observation, as if you're observing somebody else's thought, when you have no connection, you have no history, you don't have those thought loops getting entangled and everything. When you're listening to somebody vent with you, you're just lending a ear and you're just listening. You know, that's almost like that kind of a thing where you're just watching your thoughts and not getting involved in it, no identification, nothing, just letting go by, then it stops after a while. So if we learn that, that is the first step to actually knowing that there is, you are separate from the thoughts. You are not the thought. You have thoughts, but you're not the thoughts. Because sometimes we are identifying ourselves with our mind and think that's who we are. So that's the first step. When we get to be good with it, then we can bring up these memories. Because the problem is, if we don't know how to do it, it's going to become a problem. Then you're reliving again each and every time. So, but it's possible definitely to look at it without judgment, to look at it without any, getting involved in the thought and getting entangled in it.
So, yes, to look at a memory is indicative of looking at an internal representation of something, something that has happened. Memory is an internal representation of an event or an experience. Is it not so?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, can you say something about internal representations? But that's what memory is, as opposed to the actual reality of the experience. So we can differentiate that a little bit in relation to the transformative process.
Absolutely. So everything is about how you, what kind of story you tell yourself, you know, ultimately, about any situation, about a person, about situations, anything. And that, the internal representation, as you're calling it, would be more of how you have interpreted that, you know, situation or that occurrence. And that depends on, again, the person's upbringing, the person's, you know, state of mind as far as relationships, as far as whether the person's ever had, you know, seen love before in their family, how functional or dysfunctional the family was, how their upbringing was. There are so many factors, like multifactorial, and that plays, and the belief systems and things like that. All these play a role in how that internal representation happens about any situation. So, yes, so that's why not everybody is affected by a memory. You know, there's a bunch of people in the same situation, everybody interprets it different. Some may be affected and some may just brush it off. But some are deeply affected because of all these things which are connected, intertwined, interconnected. And that makes it even harder for that person to do things like even meditating, sitting, because every time you sit, these things come across and then you go so deeper because of your interpretation and you can't get out of it. So it's almost like an exercise one has to learn to look at things dissociatively, not with, you know, a lot of charge in it. So that would help us even do that process effectively and as we go along more and more, so we can disconnect from the emotional charge of the specific memory.
Right. Yes, exactly. There definitely is an emotional charge. There is a quite a bit of significance given to different memories, different experiences. The transformative process is referring to something being transformed. You know, so if I was to say that I want to go through transformation, well, what is it actually that is being transformed? You know, so for example, if you have a caterpillar that is transforming into a butterfly, we have a physical living being that is actually taking a different form. So that's very clear, it's understandable. But if I was to say that I want to transform myself, you know, from a problem area like gambling addiction or maybe some anger or I don't know, whatever it may be. It could be anything that I don't really like about myself or something that was causing a lot of harm, or even the fact that I feel stuck somewhere, you know, that like in a thought loop pattern or like a conflict with someone. If any of those things are there, I'm looking to come out of it. So if you could describe the coming out of that process, in terms of transformation, and then how is that coming out process to be done in relation to memory? Because we use memory. Memories are always going to be there. And so memories cannot be thrown out of the brain. They just cannot be, they cannot be extracted from the brain or the mind. They're going to be there. So what is the interconnection between the substance that is being transformed and memory? If you see the question, you can see what, maybe you can repeat the question from what you understand it, and then maybe talk about it.
Yeah, so you're asking about what is it that is being transformed in this whole process? Because, yeah, like we said, the memory doesn't go away. Memory is always going to be there. That's the whole part of our life in general. Life is full of memories because that's how it should be. You know, we have gone through a good life if we have, like, more memories than less. So they are. But how much are we attached to these memories is the key. Meaning, when I say attached, obviously the emotions and feelings and everything which are the ones which cause these attachment. So in what I am looking at is what is being transformed is really the way, number one, which is being transformed is the way we look at this event has to change. That is number one. And even to know, and if we go deeper with all these tools and, you know, energy work, breath work, meditation and everything, to go deeper and realize who we are, on what magnificent beings we are actually, and that we are playing literally a role on this earth coming as human beings. It's almost like, for me, it's like playing a part, like actor or actresses when you come into this role in this body and this form and whatever you go through. Like when we watch a movie, and the actors and actresses, they play such a good role. We get attached to the role. And we cry and we do, you know, we get upset and we get anger, you know, when things happen. So, but they are playing such a good role. So if we can even get to some part of that part, I mean, some part of that, saying that we're all literally playing roles in our life. And so not to get too attached to that role to the extent that it doesn't allow us to realize or go on with our life continuing being actors. So the separation, I don't mean separation that form, but in our minds, which allows us to realize that these memories are just memories. And once they've passed, they are there for whatever reason. It's an experience. Even if we cannot get meaning to that, a lot of times we cannot. We don't have to explain it with our mind. Everything is not rational and analytical. But because we are transforming, when I say transforming our outlook about a situation, about the memory, we're transforming our mind essentially, basically, or transcending our mind to a certain extent, where we're not giving and only using the mind as a tool, but not to make it mountains or, you know, make it so big in our minds that it causes the emotion and feelings which are negative, which keep going on and on and on. So the perspective is number one, then our mind itself, and then the realization about who we really are.
So, yes, in listening to your comments, is the transformation possible only by being fully in the present? Because the memory is of the past. And even that's just a storage process. It's a representation of events that have happened. But it seems like it's more than representation at times. It seems very real, particularly when those experiences show up and they're experienced as real. But they're not actually real. So could you differentiate the reality of life versus the memory of life and then the representational process?
Yeah, so definitely. We never live in the present. That is the problem. And that is because you're so attached to our minds. You know, meaning that we allow our mind to always go in the past. Because what are thoughts, really? Thoughts are all the things which are generated from a field of mind or field of brain. Everything's based on the past. Whatever has occurred in the past, people, what they told us, what we've been through, what did we look around, what did we read in the past, all the knowledges acquired, we kind of put everything together and project that in the future for even for planning, whether it's for deciding your future, you know, good stuff, even planning and other purposes, but then you use it for so not so good purposes, like to get, you know, to, you know, using your past life experience, you said, what if this happens again? What will I do? So that gets to get you in the journey or in the trajectory of, you know, worry and guilt and, you know, constantly things like that. So the point is, if we learn, definitely live in the present, and not to suppress these memories, but really realize that it's an event of the past and to let go of it. And why let go of it? Firstly, for the reason that it's happened in the past, and you know, you never know if it'll happen again. You can project it in the future, and that's what most people do about everything. But most commonly doesn't. You know, we know that even in our past, you know, experiences in as evidence, how many of them have repeated itself again and again and again? Very few things, you know, very rarely. So I think one needs to, that's why I live in the present, and leave the past at past, and maybe, you know, use it as a learning experience or to evolve ourselves, you know, to whatever, you know, we may not make the same mistake if we made a choice, that too, not mistake. If we made a choice which led to a not such favorable outcome, maybe I would not make the same choice. You'll change it. So things like that. So it has to be, it should be at least used for that, rather than making it so emotional and charged that we don't even live life anymore the way we should be. So definitely staying in the present is the key, which would allow us to actually make better decisions for the future, you know, whatever we're planning, live in calmness. Your body doesn't suffer because the body tends to relax, stay in the present moment, grow and heal and everything. So when we don't do that, then you will have problems in the future because the body doesn't know time. The body only knows the present. And the mind comes in between, and that is what causes the problems. And the messaging between the mind and the body, you know, changes. So the body thinks you're living the future exactly or the past in the present again and again and again. And so the body can't survive the way it should.
So as a person tries to apply these ideas, is there a gradual slow process that is transformative? Or is there like this quantum notion that one can actually decide to take a quantum leap into transformation? Could you describe the differentiation between these two, between a gradual, slow, long-term process of eventually getting your transformation versus a much more proactive, very dynamic way of really just moving rapidly into transformation? What is the difference between the two?
Well, it depends on that person. You know, it is not, it can be generalized. You know, obviously there's two different kinds of people. Once we grasp the you know, the not the method, but the tools you use, and you really grasp the point about who you are and these things we talked about before, then it can happen at any moment. It could be quantum transformation. All of a sudden you're awakened and said, hey, wait a minute, I just got it. And from then on, it's hard to go back to the past, you know, how you did before. But sometimes it's slower in the sense that people need to meditate gradually, use these tools on a regular basis, and slowly before they know it, 3 months, 6 months, you know, a year down the road, they're a different individual. And the only way they know it is by, you know, reflecting on a year before or 6 months before, what kind of a person you were and what did you go through and how do you deal with things, you know, now. And I've seen this gradual process actually in my own family, which is amazing that it can happen and it happens beautifully. But that's a lot of hard work too, because you have to be conscious of evolving and how you're changing your perception at every instant, changing the way you approach everything, being focused on or aware of the thoughts that occur, every thought which comes through, every interaction, how you you know, approach, how you respond to situation, not like the way you did in the past. So these are all the tools one has to use on a regular basis. It's hard work, but what isn't? You know, everything we do is hard work. You know, if you want to earn money, you have to work hard. If you have to get a college degree, you have to work hard. In school, you have to work hard. So, and so it shouldn't be a deterrent to saying that, oh, I am this way. I'm not going to do it this way. So, and then of course, it depends on how much a person wants to put that behind them and actually want to live a better life or want to be in a state where they would not want to feel this way. Because a lot of times it's very complicated because the mind has so many levels and so many saboteurs in it, which doesn't allow you to do these things. Even if your conscious mind says, no, I'm going to make this change tomorrow. But there are so many things in the subconscious. Again, the belief systems you've acquired, which is going to tell you negative stuff. But wait a minute, but you cannot do this because this happened. And so if you fall back in the trap, then you're back again. So it just depends on the person. What they're willing to do and how they're willing to do it. So I guess that's what it is.
That was Dr. Ketha Tipalu on the Quantum Transformation Program discussing memory, the role of memory in the transformative process. So once again, thanks to Dr. Ketha Tipalu, and we are going to continue with the rest of the program with the slides as well as discussion and follow-up at this point. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And we will discuss another topic the next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.